Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
This Monday, what? Holy hell. 1 week from today, we're going to be doing the greatest game show ever made. How do you watch it? You watch it on YouTube for free. Just be subscribed. Hit the bell. Keith and the Girl, the YouTube channel. You know what's happening. This Monday, August 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern. Put it on your calendar. The New York Times has said, and I quote, "This is the single greatest game show ever did." Be part of it. Come on now. Should I tell you the lineup, Chemda?
Yeah.
Okay. Ashley Brooke Roberts. We talked to her recently. Very open guest. Fantastic. Murph Meyer. That'd be a fun guy to talk about acid with, right? Lucy Pohl, who isn't literally in love with her. Rod Morrow, who isn't literally in love with him. This is going to be a lot of fun. The 21st Monday.
That's the cast?
Mm-hmm. That's the cast, yeah.
That is one of the best bills that I've seen put together for
you're trying to get Chemda on your side. Fantastic. When we talk about LSD. By the way, we can't talk about we can't talk about drugs right away on YouTube. Everybody knows that. So let me spell out what we will be talking about: LSD. Okay, but not yet.
In the sky with diamonds.
We're gonna start with something innocuous.
It's weird. It's not as effective if there aren't any diamonds. I've tried Lucy in the sky, and it's okay.
Craig Klein, how you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great.
He really did, like, right? He was the one jumping in, being high decibel, and then it's like, Craig, how are you? Let me.
It's
lean.
A bit.
Let me.
I'm leaning in.
Let me lean back a little bit and put a cigar in my mouth, and I'm doing pretty cool. Thanks for asking. What a fucking guy! What a guy! All right, we're gonna get into the acid talk in a minute. Let's talk about Hawaii and the great island of Maui is under fire. 53 people from forest fires have died so far. Just between us, guys. Just between us. Is it kind of weird when people die from fire or floods? Is it a little, unless you got your car trapped, how don't you see it literally coming? Thoughts?
Have you ever seen videos of a house?
I'm sorry, my internet is unstable. I must have heard wrong.
It's just between us. You don't have to justify anything. It's just between us. How do you die from like California has forest fires? If I had to tell people that's how Craig died, I'd be humiliated for knowing him. What are your thoughts?
Have you ever seen a video of a fire starting and burning down a house?
No, it's none of my business.
It
builds itself from a very small fire to a kind of small fire over the course of like 10 minutes. But after it gets to this size, it consumes an entire neighborhood in like an hour. It's done.
But a half hour, get the fuck out.
You don't even see it. You can literally.
If it's on the news, I saw it coming. I guarantee I get phone texts about it. I get phone texts about flooding in New York, and I make the joke like, "Oh, Kyle's thinking about me." You get warnings. Again, this is just between us.
I see what you're saying. It's just fucking amazing that somebody like you can walk around so confidently in all of your life.
I'm not going to be tricked into a jury duty TV show and not going to die by a fire in my house.
I was listening to that episode yesterday, and I was like, amazing that you are so fucking certain about something that objectively you cannot be certain about.
You're talking. You guys understand there's an audience right now. I'm telling just between us what the fuck, right?
I think this is Keith's new version of thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Blessings to everybody. But no, it's just between us. I don't think you guys know what just between us is. Yes, if you lost your dad and I sound like an asshole, I'm saying just between us.
Would you like to hear just between you and the audience now? As I put
are they eavesdropping? I know that is the opposite of just between us. Oh, yeah. I didn't know people were eavesdropping. What do they have to say?
What I meant was thoughts and prayers. Yeah,
let me guess, I'm a big asshole because people are dying right now. No, I'm
honestly, a couple of people are explaining it to you, but I'm not going to read theirs because I don't think that you're listening.
It makes too much sense.
What I am going to read
Keith,
is
Keith. It's called Oxygen. Look it up. Okay.
Basically. Okay. So I'm just gonna.
Do you know when you breathe, it's actually fuel for the fire, the literal fire, Keith?
I'm gonna skip those because you know things.
Everybody's a scientist. Everybody knows things. Remember when they were into the fucking submersible? Now they know all about fires. Fuck out of here.
Instead, I'm going to read Mimi Cherry's post only about this.
Okay.
And she says, such a brilliant person and dodo bird all at once.
That's pretty cool. That's like bye.
And Anna, I'm going to read Anna's also.
Sure.
Keith won't be tricked by fire.
I won't be tricked by fire, water, or a fake TV show.
What's interesting?
Just go with it and let the show trick you and let the fire burn you. Isn't that half the fun, right, Greg?
So what's interesting is that when he says something, right, when he asks a question, right, Craig, what he's actually saying is go ahead and try not to agree with me. I've already made up my mind. This is a question only to trap you in my net of weaponry that will make you feel stupid for whatever you say, unless it's exactly what I'm saying.
But I'm the one that's scared of tricks. What the fuck did you just say? None of that is true. I just wanted, hey, just between us, isn't it kind of dumb the way people are dying? And I thought maybe it'd be a quick nod and we move on. I guess I just wanted validated. But in no way was it an attack.
This is another, you know, Mimi Cherry's on fire today. Oh, Mimi, don't die.
Oh, God. I mean, it would sneak up on me, too. You know, don't open a window. Yeah. Put a towel on yourself. What the fuck?
Mimi Cherry and Jennifer McIntosh, they're both saying, like, hey, you can't swim. I don't know.
Yeah, so I would notice the floods coming. So I would notice the floods coming. I also can't beat fire to death, so I wouldn't fuck with it. Uh-huh. All these swimmers. Hey, 53 swimmers died by water? Okay.
Here's another thing.
Oh, yes, please. Go on. You have my attention.
Foggy Bottom is reminding us. I tricked you one time. He says, you will get tricked by wind. Hemda has convinced you that you farted when it was really her.
Right. That's where the tricksters come from. I was dating somebody, folks. And she convinced me that I farted in the car instead of her. Oh, Keith, what tricks? I don't know. My friend and business partner tried to lie about a fart coming out of my own asshole. Maybe there's tricksters out there, folks.
Maybe.
And then she's so evil, Hemda, that she's like, please, no April 1st jokes. Really? That's even sicker. She doesn't want to play along with April Fools, but tried to get me to say, I'm sorry I farted in the car. That's sick shit.
Yep, it is. Take note. I told you I don't fart, so, you know, believe what you want after that.
You're a sick man. Keith Malley, you are
right for staying friends with her. You're not wrong. No. Maybe I do like taking that hammer to my toe, right? Maybe I do. Jesus Christ.
You have a shit ton of notes and they all can't be how could people die in a fire.
Wrong. You're not necessarily wrong. So we put up on forums and Reddit the video that Craig sent to me when I was on acid. That was supposed to center
let's
me.
Let's fucking talk about this because, man, okay.
He goes, sorry. I sent a beautiful, and he said, and I quote, and I do quote, He said, I sent a, believe me, audience, what I sent was tasteful. Just trust me. I put up the video. It wasn't 3 hours. It was 8 hours. And it's the worst headache inducing shit I've ever seen. And I rewatched it, you know, 5 seconds sober. It's horrendously stupid. And yes, I'm sorry, Bon Jovi centered me better than your bullshit about aliens and killer clowns. Unless you wrote it. Tell me you wrote it. Then I'll calm down. This is the dumbest, laziest video that you sent. You are no guide of mine.
Wow.
Here, James says, Keith should have played the video loud and just went with it. LSD is a lot of fun. I said I had so much fucking fun. Instead, though, I should have played a video on blast about aliens being obviously CGI, just like the music. It's a stupid, lazy video. And by the way, it's called Ogie's Revenge. I don't know the story, but why would you send something to somebody that wants to enjoy a high called revenge? At your leisure. All right. Who gives a shit? Sounds good. Get back to me.
So I know that when I'm on acid, right?
And going
into taking acid, when people said, oh man, it's a hallucinogenic, you wouldn't believe the things that I imagined that I was about to experience, right? And right. I did acid and I didn't see any of it. And what I learned as a psychonaut doing it several times, oh, I know what's happening.
I like that word's a compliment to you. I'm good.
It's like a, I know what's going to trigger like the best visuals for me. And in particular, that video, which I haven't done acid on, but I'm going to.
Oh my God. He didn't even check his work. Did I do acid and watch that video? No, not me personally. I just spent 8 hours of trying to tell somebody you need a guide.
I know so well what is going to be good.
You researched that video? Fuck you.
Did you watch any of that movie?
It's a film now.
I did hit play on it. I didn't watch it. Huh. I'm so sorry, Craig. I'm not surprised by Keith's response. You sent that video to Kevin, not Keith.
Right. The person you want me to be.
Keith is the person that we know. Kevin is the person that you thought was on drugs. Keith was still on drugs.
I know. Like when you were listening to his acid tapes, the way that he was talking to us, even in his head. So when I told him about my first time, I saw just real short. I saw blood, like the wood grains in a door. It was like dripping blood and I couldn't believe it. So I put my hand on it and then the blood started to drip over my hands and I could feel the viscosity. I could feel the warmth. And then just like that, it was gone. And I couldn't fucking believe that something could happen that supernatural right in front of my face. I'm trying to tell him this story. And you know what he says to me? Why the fuck? Have you ever thought why the fuck you're always seeing blood? No, I mean, like, what the fuck does that say about you?
Now we see, because you mentioned this last episode also. So obviously it's a sticking point and I offended you. But you brought up two versions of seeing blood. And I said, is it interesting you always see blood? That's what I said. And that's how I said it. So I'd like to apologize that I made you feel weak. That you always see blood.
So the reason why I'm further away from the mic,
if you can, you relax.
The reason why I'm relaying that is that I'm trying to say, like, isn't it funny where his mind was going in a hallucinogenic state? That there was nobody there, but he was preventing the trickery to anything that wasn't even listening. But he had to send it out so that there was a documentation of, you're not getting me. I get it. Nope.
I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw this TV show.
Hold on. Oh, okay. He specifically said in there, this was the most shocking thing to me.
Shocking.
He said, I was about to text and say that I felt like I was dead, but I'm not going to because then maybe later Craig will say, gotcha, you thought you were dead.
I think you're paraphrasing wrong, but all right, you guys heard the tape, so what can I tell you? But you ever see this TV show Jury Duty? And they planned and made up, like, I think this guy will do this. I think this guy will say this. Thank you for following my script, Craig, because that's interesting. Because I wrote down here, at the end of the last episode, when Kenda's internet cut out, about the last 10 minutes, Craig is talking to me what seems like a sincere voice. And he goes, the poll could be, which way would you Yelp more? I'm like, Yelp? What the fuck is, okay, I'll figure it out later, you know. And then he's like, I think I put my foot in my mouth. Like, okay, well, this sounds sincere. What? I meant maybe the poll should be blah, blah, blah. Then I get up, and of course, where did he get Yelp from? From Camda texting, hey, I meant the word yell. Anyway, he was trying to fucking trick me. So people are trying to trick me, Craig. Am I making sense?
Oh my God. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Oh my,
he's
the
so
weight
sick.
Of the world. Oh.
Not the weight of the world. It rolls off my back because so I expect it. I was right. Sick. You tried to trick me.
Oh my God.
You acted like those were your words and that they made sense and that you didn't know what you were reading. You were just doing you were doing us a favor. You were reading Kenda's text because she couldn't make it, but you acted like it was your own and the words didn't make sense because you didn't read it right. But you acted like it made sense.
Because I'm a production professional and I understand what it's like to get a back channel communication and try to play it off live
on TV. Why is your phone on?
Exactly. Hold on. Hold on. What was first of all, Craig did have his phone on, but it worked out in our favor here because
well,
I was
it did now because I can laugh at it.
I was texting the both of you, but I think it's funny that you think Craig was trying to trick you when he was really trying to
trick the audience, anybody. Which is trick sicker. You can trick me, but not the audience, bro.
Holy shit.
God damn it. You hate them.
And also, just for the record, I did not have my phone on. I have notifications via iMessage on my computer that pop up in the top right-hand corner.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, I get the middle finger for that. Oh, okay.
You're trying to trick me, dude. You think you got it, and you're so confident.
He said it's a phone. So confident. So if it's a phone, but it was my computer, where do we even know where we are?
No, I forgot.
My phone was upstairs, in fact.
You've already made up your mind about what happened, and it doesn't matter.
I made up
any
your
new
mind.
Information.
Made up your mind.
You guys, if you're skipping Thanksgiving, Rosh Hashanah, Christmas,
this is it.
Just tune in. This is my family.
This is my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry because I really wanted to have a sincere discussion with you about this, but I feel like I'm being steamrolled by my best friend.
But I was supposed to apologize about how I took acid. I loved
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's not about you. I'm interested in Kimda's perspective
on acid.
On the
about her perspective of taking acid 5 days ago?
I mean, in her life.
Oh, how are you, Kimda?
Oh my God.
Great point, Craig. Kenda, I'm curious how you are.
Is this what it's like to want your parents to get a divorce?
All right, here's the poll in your guys' crazy defense. Who did you side with more? I honestly didn't know what this could mean because I didn't think I was arguing anything. But I thought I would win the poll on top of that. Because if half our audience didn't do acid, then I would think they would think what Henda's saying. I'm saying it is scary. And they'd be like, yeah, it is scary. So I thought I'd get half the audience votes. And then I thought half of the other half that did acid would be like, yeah, I can go either way. So I'll go Keith's way. Wasn't even close. 21% on Reddit, 14% on the forums. Who did you side with more? Henda and Craig. I don't know what you sided with. What did you side with? Hey, I admit I'm wrong. Craig still won't admit that he lost the poll about Roseanne. I'm willing to admit when everything's 99% not in my favor, I must be wrong. But I sincerely don't even know my point that would be wrong. That's all. But you guys won fair and square.
Wait, nobody when you write a general poll, whose side are you generally on?
Yeah.
And you win. You go, oh, they collected the right information. We can't even put.
I'm wrong. I'm saying I'm wrong. You guys won.
But you don't know about what.
I don't get it, though. But okay.
Now, Craig, next time you want to give Keith an experience with good intention. Remember, he doesn't even know what he's wrong about. And he put up the poll. So just take it down 1,000. just because he yells about everyday common things, it does not mean he's deep or wants to go deep. He can't swim. So let's stay in the shallow water and tell some jokes.
Punch some fucking waves.
Yes. Let me, in response.
Maybe that's why I don't think a flood would get me, because I've been punching waves for years. I see your kids' videos. They're doing good out there, by the way, folks. Thank you.
In response to this video, right? Are you guys interested? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So Keith is on acid for the first time. Craig is a psychonaut, we're calling it, which means you've done this several times.
Hundreds. Literally, he said, and I believe this, psychedelics hundreds of times. That's not an exaggeration, right? Let's not say
hundreds of doses easily.
Right. So let's not say a few times.
Okay. So I don't know what that's like, but I do know what doing weed hundreds of times does. And the first 1 to 100 times that I was on weed, I was a different way than when you see me smoking now. And so if it's somebody's first time smoking weed, I am not going to try to get them to reach the depth, the thought process, the relaxation that happens when I smoke.
You wouldn't send them an 8-hour book on weed?
I wouldn't talk to them like they can get to what I have gotten to. And I'm not saying it's a deeper version of something. I am saying that it affects you differently. So for Craig, although well-intentioned, maybe this would put Keith...
I like to think.
I don't know that you do, but we're going to go
with
it.
He's not well-intentioned. Maybe he's good-intentioned. Maybe.
Okay. Good-intentioned Craig decided, hey, I have figured some shit out. So I know I can put a playlist for someone, not just of videos, but of conversation, of setting, of colors, of music, of whatever. And they can get into this space without doing hundreds of hours of this, right? And I think you can't skip that step, especially
that was him breathing. It feels important to the audience that they don't think I went.
And that's disappointing to a psychonaut. Am I saying that right? But this is Keith Malley, who when he took an edible at 11 p.m. and said, "Well, this feels good," another person would go, "Then how's 2 or 3 edibles?" No, he said, "One edible is good. How about acid?" So we're not talking from a place
a normal
of regular.
Person.
Yeah. So,
and also considering that context, I came in with suggestions after I realized the worst case scenario was already afoot, right? I found out he's already on acid. I'm picturing myself an apartment with overhead lighting, a television.
It's a nice apartment,
bright.
By the way. I let that go last time. It's a nice place, and the lighting is great, and it's brand new, by the way, fan included.
Listen, man, I'm not. It's not a judgment. I'm saying particular.
It's not a fluorescent horror movie like Saw. Okay, it's a nice place with good lighting. I paid extra for the lighting.
It wasn't an insult. It really wasn't. So I understand how it could be taken as such, and I feel sorry for that. The point that I'm trying to make is that I came in on the back end, and I was like, it wasn't like I don't even think I said, watch this. I just threw options out there at him.
No, it's supposed to not watch
bored
it.
Through a night of 9 hours. If he wanted to go in on something, he was freaking out and he needed something to just lock in on. This was something that was an infinite picture. It had a soundtrack that didn't go anywhere. And it was actually when I was flipping through it, I was moved sober because one of the things that it's doing, it's taking faces from
it's horrible.
All of the eras of paintings and it's flashing through them.
It's stupid.
And it's so fucking emotional.
It's not amazing.
You know what I mean?
It's not amazing. You're making fun of museums when you say that. Artists are going to kill themselves when you say that stupidity. KeithandTheGirl.com/forums. You'll see it right there. Keith and the Girl under Reddit. You'll see the video yourself. To act like that's art is offensive to anybody who picked up a crayon.
It was like looking at like the
I saw it. I know.
It was like looking at the glow of a stained glass window in a cathedral.
No, it's not. I went to church all the time. I've seen the best churches in the world. It's nothing like a nice stained glass window at all. If that's fucking the coolest shit outside, I'm locking the doors and staying inside forever. Fuck that. That isn't good, Craig. Stop saying it. You sound stupid.
Craig, if we can look, I know this could be taken.
This is.
Very
let's
personally.
Make this the poll. Is this video amazing? How about that? Keith wins.
Let's just remember that art is subjective.
But it's not though. But don't ruin the word subjective or the word art. This is shit.
All right, Craig, because you're willing and open to learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Here's yours.
Yeah.
You found out that the person that you love took acid in the wrong set and setting. You found that out and you wanted to save him. The problem is
I wanted to provide options.
But in a way, you wanted to save him.
Yeah.
I did.
Because you wanted what?
I did.
And it's very well intentioned. But what happens is he decides to go swimming and he can't swim. And you now have to let the lifeguards do their thing. You have to wait until he asks for help. And you know that he has to trip the way he does. And you will be around.
Oh, Keith, is Bon Jovi keeping you high? Here's a picture of aliens.
Oh, my God. The only thing you could have done for him as a person
treat others how they want to be treated. How about that, Craig?
Wanted to help, and you know this, on acid, you just go, I'm available. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And when he called, but he's not going to call you, right? He's not going to call you. He even sent phone messages
so that
saying,
I didn't hear you back.
I don't care about your response. I have thoughts. And he sent you his podcast in fucking chunks, just his side.
Right, right.
So, so you want him to experience the acid that gave you vulnerability and clarity and openness. And he wants to experience acid home. Alone, so that if he does say or do something stupid, he could override that because you're not tricking him into being a different person. Let him override it. Do not push him to have the kind of acid trip that you know you want and you can get the best of it. That's his version
of best. I'm sitting there drowning and Craig's leaning off the boat, like pushing me, like, come on, you know how to swim.
Don't push it, Keith. I get it now.
I don't even know whose side you were on.
Keith is a small child.
Thank you.
Child afraid of everything, trapped in a man's body, an angry man's body.
Are mad. I'm not afraid of everything. Don't try to trick him. I'm taking acid at 11 p.m. I'm not scared of shit, bro.
Please. You don't even notice the clarity I just gave on your statement being ridiculous.
Thank you.
Please. What you just said is ridiculous.
I can't tell if this is good or bad, what you're saying. So
I know that. That's why we get to talk freely, me and Craig. We're talking in code as far as you're concerned.
See, that's what I wanted to talk about fires and floods like. So you do know how to do it. Anyways, I got the acid from TJ and Benjamin. TJ goes by Kyle now, I believe. He wrote on Twitter, like, what do you do with the instructions I gave you about the acid? I'm like, oh, I think I ate that first by accident. What the fuck? What? I don't know. They were written down instructions? I guess I threw them out for space. What could they have been?
That's what Craig was trying to do, is to give you instructions after the fact.
Yes.
And that's not how you
I already put the IKEA table together. Don't tell me the best way to put an IKEA table together. I just did it. Thank you. Keith and the Girl TV, number 39, Man's Best Friend. If you're confused about Benjamin and TJ and what we're talking about. I just saw it the other day. So, so good. It's in the Keith and the Girl app. KeithandGirl.com/app. It's so funny.
All right, Keith, do you want to check on your friend Craig? He just took a Keith pill, and it's affecting him.
He's taking pills in between vape and a joint. He doesn't know what.
Well, it's a lot to deal with you, dude. It's a lot to deal with you. And
mommy's
little
helper.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I got to explain this to people. They're like, hey, saw you on the show, and like, what the fuck?
Is it a Make-A-Wish? What?
And I'm like, yeah. The man in my life is abusive. That's it. Emotionally abusive to me.
Okay. Anyway, are you all right? Everyone all right?
He's okay.
I'm okay.
Once he understands I only get my acid from the dog park, he has it figured out, and he understands what I'm saying. Our buddy Chris said, all right, finish the episode. I kept thinking, and then Keith finally said, what are they arguing about? Keith wanted a party, and he got a party. Him to Craig are like, it was worse than it could have been. Keith says he doesn't even want another version of that. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Oh, I just turned a piece of paper, and I got another piece of paper right here. You know what this says, Kenda? We were playing Destiny. Me, Adam, and Craig. We're going to go to Joshua Tree in October. By the way, it's not a tree. It's a park. Craig really thought he was going to bring...
Not going to trick him.
Craig thought he was going to bring his dog.
No, I didn't.
What?
to Joshua Tree.
Why are you making such a big deal out of literally a nothing burger?
Craig, because that's not true. You thought you were going to bring your dog.
You wrote it down? Because
it's fascinating and I hate you.
And then you printed it out?
Well, that's the same. Writing it down and printing it out is the same. I don't want to brag. I have an easy system.
What is this now? What happened?
Holy fuck.
Craig, what happened? Were you going to take your dog to Joshua Tree?
Okay.
Yes or no?
Okay. I take it Keith is coming out there in October.
Yes. And I told them, hey, good news. I have somebody to watch the dog. And they were like, "What? We didn't want that fucking dog out there anyways."
Said,
and
no I was shit. Like, I didn't know it was a debate.
And that's it. That's it.
All right, we solved
that's
it. Good.
That's it. That's
I think that was worth a piece of paper. That was a fun time we all had.
You see what I mean? Like, that's it.
Now let's get into this Angel Olsen, the third Olsen sister. You went and you saw her in concert. You know she didn't make Tougher Than the Rest, right? You know that, right?
Dude.
Okay.
Oh, just and by the way, she played in a cemetery, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Hollywood, with all of the celebrity and the mausoleums and stuff. It's right. Like really, really cool.
Skid Row place. Did Breaking Down in that cemetery. It's a
and
good
so
cemetery.
She played it out. She played out in the park in the middle of the cemetery. So we're all sitting amongst tombstones and mausoleums and stuff and watching. Angel Olsen, you would love her. Her voice is so
it's really
so
it's really about
beautiful.
Death. Like a song starts literally, first lines is everything is tragic. And, Fly on Your Wall. By the way, is Fly on Your Wall Major Tom? Be honest.
Huh?
Huh?
I don't know.
All right.
Anyway,
it's her hit, but okay, go on.
And on the end at the end of the show, the encore, she did I Can't Live If Live in a Cemetery at Night. It was so oh, what a gem that show. Probably I've heard this quotation that genius is something that is perfectly suited for its context. And on those guys, that was like, there's no more perfect type of music and voice to hear in a spooky graveyard at night where you can see the Hollywood sign, you know, in the background. It's just.
It sounds incredible. Like an amazing experience that Keith checked out of about 5 minutes ago.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I was really looking at you.
Did you take your new lady? Right? Is it fair to say you're in love?
All right. So do you want to talk about this?
No. I tricked myself. Yes.
So I recently decided it's been long and it was regarding the Angel Olsen thing. I decided, like, I realized that I had these tickets coming up. I was like, it's going to the show. I kind of knew it was going to be amazing. Like, going to this show by myself is going to be the most depressing thing in the world. I'm going to cry in the middle of these people. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go on the apps and try to get, like a you know, at very least
excuse me,
a platonic
excuse me,
date.
Excuse me. What app?
Okay, so also I wanted an ego boost. This is really hard to share in public.
I don't think it's so embarrassing. Just say it.
Well, it is embarrassing because it's like totally I'm trying to fucking, you know, blow smoke up my ass. But I tried to get on Raya because
Raya is for celebrities and happening people. They probably have money. They're established. You're not dating a deadbeat.
Wait, can I know a little bit about this? Because I've heard that name before. Do they check on you? Do you have to say or it's just known like only if you're a big shot or is it parameters?
You have to apply and then you have to provide, as far as I understand it, I could be wrong about the mechanics of this. Appia, don't fucking check my work. All right.
A lot of forums drama.
So as far as I understand it, you have to give them access to your phone book and then they check your phone book with existing members. Whoa. And then they contact those members and say, like, is this guy a legit person that can be inside of this like kind of celebrity exposed circle of dating?
Okay. And it's good to know.
Meanwhile, they're just getting people's phone numbers.
Yeah,
why somebody called me?
Yeah, me and Kendra are getting like bullshit on the side, but I'm glad you're
maybe.
In.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
So but you do have to be invited and approved, and you were invited and approved
by Fred Durst, right? Tell everybody.
No, I think by Pauly Shore, actually, which makes it really funny.
Buddy,
I used him as my reference.
We're really. gonna get some celebrity chicks.
Sometime I need to tell you like the greatest Pauly Shore short.
Yeah, not now, not ever, right?
Yeah.
Subscribe to the show. This is some or tease. Subscribe to their friendship. I don't really know. So, okay.
So I get on there and, I flip through and I select some, but I don't want to, what do? You say I'm attracted to this person, right?
Sure.
And then it was a connection. So I said hello and they got back to me quick. And then I realized, oh my God. I just realized what kind of circle of fish or like pool of fish I'm in.
Like, right? Like, are you going to have to go to the Chateau Marmont for tea as a first date?
Exactly. And actually, like years ago, the first time I was on Raya in LA, one of my first dates was at the Chateau Marmont. That's and, it is not inexpensive, you know?
That's where, when
I, and I didn't realize it when I walked in there.
This is like, so celebrities have died there. Lindsay Lohan stayed there when she was going through her thing. You know, that it's like a house. I mean, this is a happening fucking place.
So, and also, like, I just don't want to be even worse perceived as like a wannabe of that. That's trying to like put forth that I'm some fucking cool guy. You know what I mean? And I'm in the thing, but like being a piece of shit. Also, you know what I mean? So I felt like I really had to let my personality shine and kind of let people know, like, listen, I'm not a fucking.
How do you do that? How do you say that after you connect?
So when we connected,
should we slum it and go to like diners and shit?
We decided to meet. I said, hey, let's meet up and for diner coffee at Astro Diner, and I said not because it's good, but because it's bad.
And, ladies. And
yeah. Well, but I'd like to think that.
But
I was
but when it's ironic, it's charming.
But it's not ironic. It's what I can afford, right?
Well, she was silly enough to show up, and anyways, she showed up, and we sat in that little booth and we hung out in a diner for 6-7 hours. We like watched the sun go down from noon inside
of
a diner.
Oh, that's so fun for that waiter.
Right.
No. All of the service
Chateau
staff
Maman,
loved us.
Can I give you more coffee?
They really loved us. They were rooting for the conversation. We included them in a lot of things. You know, we did an improv scene. It was hilarious.
Oh my God. Okay. No,
just imagine.
You were telling me it was great. You went on like a, you know, you guys went out. I don't know if it's the same day or a different time. And she likes the joke where, hey, let's have a fight in public. Am I saying this okay?
Yeah. Okay. So can I back up a little bit?
Right. I'll tell you right now. When me and Kyle first dated, she would do that and think it's funny, and somehow I'd be like, I don't know. For me, having a talk show with my name in it, I don't like attention drawn to me necessarily, and that wasn't my thing. You explain it.
So let me back up, and because of that, they will inform that like little bit of silliness with a little bit of seriousness, because I was confronted in that 7 hours with something that like kind of blew my mind that I think is worth talking about. I would call myself that. God, this is so embarrassing, but I'm going to fall on the sword because it's worth it.
Okay.
You played my acid tapes.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Fair. I would like consider myself like a feminist type. You know what I mean? I've always been around strong women. I support
me too. Thoughts
women.
And prayers. I support
thoughts
women too.
And prayers.
Shit.
But in a more sincere way than Keith Malley, obviously.
can we just all agree that being a feminist just means that women are equal? That's it.
When she said, why are we eating at a diner? He said, I went woke and I went broke.
But also, like, I'm trying to expose, like, the shallowness of it. But, like, to justify that, I'm saying, like, my heroes were Sinead O'Connor. You know what I mean? Like, I really.
My thoughts and prayers. Holy fuck.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it was kind of part of my identity that I had designed for myself that I thought that I was true and blue about. And the reason why I'm exposing this, because I'm really trying to, like, really expose who I thought I was, right? And so then I meet this girl who honestly is very beautiful and charming, but it's a type of girl that I'm not used to hanging out with, right? She was talking about Melrose Place and it didn't seem like ironically to me. And I was thinking, is this, but the banter is fantastic, right? So my thought, first of all, is like,
did you watch 90210 and then Melrose Place, or did you watch it on DVD like a weirdo? I hear you.
Right, right. So I thought to myself, this person is like vapid, but then they're also keeping up with me. So it must be a joke and they're doing it really good. So I thought I'll present that I get it. You know, and so in between the laughter, I say, like, I get that this is a put on.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. she looks at me and says, this isn't a put on.
Yeah. You don't know Andrew Hsu as a put on.
Yeah. Put on. Seriousness. Like looking me in the eye. And then my dumb brain says, oh, wow. Shit. Maybe this can't work out because I think she's a vapid person, but also she looked me in the eye totally sober, aware of what I was asking, and said, absolutely not. So then I tested the waters again and I said, okay, I get it. It is a joke. And she said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the situation, but she says to me, isn't it interesting that you think that this has to be shallow and everybody else does too? And just leaned back. And I was like, holy fuck. I'm such a cunt.
Kemda, what's he saying?
Does it make sense? He's saying that he can't possibly believe that you like Bon Jovi and Limp Bizkit because
I'm not hot like his new girlfriend.
No, because that makes him wonder how he can be friends with you and how you can have depth of perception in general about music and life. Because no one who follows Limp Bizkit and believes that they're a good band could have deep thoughts, could have a structured life, could have
Craig learn? Does he owe me an apology?
Always. Everyone does, obviously.
Buckcherry's like, good. Now, do you owe me an apology?
I think he's apologizing to himself for missing out on life, putting these boxes constantly in spaces that don't necessarily need it. So that's like seeing someone with a pink outfit, glitter, their hair is done a certain way, and going, they can't possibly give me a run for my money in terms of being friends with me, in terms of relating to any kind of real thing that I have to talk about, because they're shallow, because this one thing equals the rest of your personality has to match. From the 1980s, let's not forget.
Well, that seems rude, Craig.
And that's what he's recognizing. So,
well, it
take some acid and come to the conclusion that
it's the antithesis of what I've always kind of understood as somebody who is, you know, trying to destroy the patriarchy as opposed and destroy like gender roles. And kind of what I was learning was that there is these safety things built into these gender roles. I'm paraphrasing. I'm really explaining it badly, but something that she
I don't need all 7 hours. Paraphrase, please.
She said a safe space, the safest space is around Froyo at the Beverly Center, which it sounds like such a vapid thing. But I think what she was trying to say was that there's like this.
Maybe she's this just feminine, saying she likes corn dogs. What the fuck?
No. I actually think that what she's saying is that the world is a really, really, really dangerous place for women. And even people who think that they're on women's side, there's a whole category of women that we are discounting on their femininity because of the world that they live in.
Craig's definitely a million times deeper than me. I just told Kyle, hey, I don't like the attention of a fake fight.
I feel really stupid for talking about this because it's not my place to talk about it.
Hold on. So I went through something similar. I grew up in a Middle Eastern home and I grew up like I was born in 1975. So gender roles were like even different then. And now they have changed. It's a little more nice for us. But when they don't change, so I had to be feminine, right? But when I looked around, my brothers were getting passes, even my younger brother. My younger brother was getting a pass to go places that I couldn't because he was masculine. He was male. So then I started copying male roles. I started being more aggressive. I started speaking differently because that would give me power, like the power that I saw around. I didn't know that that's exactly what I was doing, but I started being like more physical with people. Like, get the fuck out of here. I started like, you know, really being this person, you know, I don't give a shit, like whatever, because that's what men sort of get away with and people treat them better and nicer and they're not soft. Soft is the opposite of what I need to be if I'm going to be taken seriously. So I pushed my soft side. And so I only wore this, that, the next, you know, all of that. And what I recognized is that I'm losing out. The fact that like I want to talk about Gilmore Girls, I would have been so embarrassing. I wouldn't want to talk about it because like, oh, you like that girly thing? You want to be a guy's girl. You want to have trouble making friends with other females. You want to be the girl who gets it. And that is anti-feminist. But I think I had to go through that to understand that's not my goal. My goal is not to be masculine the way the world sees it. My goal is to be me and feel safe talking through that without someone calling me a bimbo because I have this taste in this. Like, I was embarrassed to say I like Mariah Carey for a long time because that seemed frou-frou. It's you know, and like where men are in Beyonce concerts and they have to maybe combat that, like, no, I'm straight. I freaking like just whatever this is.
When I walk in for a pedicure, I go, one pedicure by myself, male. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some people behave over the top. Like, there could be a guy going into a mani-pedi place just with his wife, let's say, and the people who come in, they're like, okay, you want mani-pedi? And he's like, no, I'm just fucking here with her. And it destroyed. This is just another version of that. It's another version of how are people going to see me based on this one box that if I wear this thing, I'm in this one box, even though I'm more general than
and
that.
Kind of a different point. When I do go for a mani-pedi single and there's another guy, we kind of nod at each other like we bought the same car. Pretty cool, right?
Do you think that you felt like you lost? So that you're kind of that kind of timeline, I kind of understand.
She wishes she admitted she farted in the car.
Do you think that you lost any power by not leaning into your femininity?
I think you lose power when you're not yourself because play rolling and acting is exhausting. And then you have to, it's like constantly lying, even if it's to yourself and you're keeping up with it. But think about how much, like if you wanted to wear sleeveless shirts like Keith, but you kept dressing the way you do because you like when people look at you better like that, it would be so much work to pick out that outfit. It would be so much work. But right now it's a pleasure to pick out the outfit. It's a pleasure to be that. It's a pleasure to be yourself, which is what people call a safe space.
I get what you're saying. That makes total sense. And so anyway, the moral of the story was that in the midst of this date, like I was really prejudging this person based on what I thought was a very very informed and very personal, like, experience that I was bringing to the table. And it was flipped on its fucking head right in front of me. And I felt like it was an epiphany with character and like me missing out on understanding something else. And anyway, yeah, it was a very, very, very nice date. We'll see how it goes. She's absolutely fascinating.
She sounds wonderful. We met her. She's fantastic. Yeah. But don't forget, do not beat yourself up so much because what our right brains look for are patterns. So these are patterns that you recognize from your childhood, from your depth, from your thought out, you know, trips and, you know, whatever it is from your interactions from other women. And you found that pattern. So that day she broke that pattern, but we do look for patterns. Patterns also keep us safe. There is a reason why we dress a certain way. We do want to put out that information. So we can't really beat ourselves up. Our brains are looking for patterns. If they find the pattern, we just have to be open to break that pattern when we can see that it's not working for us anymore.
And seriously, how sexy is that, that you have, what's the word, a misunderstanding, and you solve it on a first date? I mean it.
Yeah.
That's cool, well, right?
Actually, that is very cool. And what you learn in those moments is that, like, oh, wow, I can communicate with this person. And I think Keith said to me one time, he was like, a good relationship, maybe I'm paraphrasing, is one that you can argue well in. Yes. And it felt like that was a component that was worth, like, yeah, this is great to talk. And then she ended up not even being able to go to the concert. So I ended up just taking a friend.
The idea was, right, let me find somebody for this concert.
How does this go with
the fake fighting?
Oh, so then we drove out to Joshua Tree and we stopped at the dinosaur from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Did you bring your dog?
No.
Okay.
No, Jesus Christ.
Just checking.
It's like,
safety first. I'm sorry. I care too much. I'm not going to send you an 8-hour video on dogs. I asked and now we know and everybody's comfortable.
So we stopped at the Pee Wee dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts and prayers.
And they painted it like Pee Wee because he had just died.
Right.
And again, this made me feel really uncomfortable and I don't know how to say it and not feel weird. But there was a big group of people that were taking photos with the sunset behind the dinosaur because it was freshly painted. And,
you cut line.
And that's fine. Yeah, we just cut in line and she sat down on the dinosaur's foot and then I was over there and we kind of had an understanding that we were going to act like an angry couple, you know, and I had to take so many photos. So we were kind of role playing. And then all of these people behind us were like, hey, trying to take fucking photos too. What is the matter with you? And then I yelled at her and I ran over and then we were walking to the car. She said, grab my arm. And we posed a domestic dispute.
I'm happy for you. I give it 3 months and I don't mean that the love's going to go away. You're going to be dead. Are we nervous at all about love bombing? Meaning when I took the audience on this journey when I was dating before Kyle. And some people said, like, oh, are you giving this girl the wrong idea? You know, she ended up upset or surprised that I found Kyle instead, for example. And I thought, no, I'm clear. We're just dating. I'm clear. I am seeing other people. But at the same time, if you see me with her at a party, you would think we're long lovers. We look each other in the eye when we kiss or whatever. We hold hands, fingers intertwined. Because you're going to get the best of me, even though I was clear I'm seeing other people. Are we nervous about love bombing?
Wait, can we stop calling it love bombing? Love bombing is very, very, very specific. And it's very attached to one of the things, which is a narcissism cycle. And it starts with love bombing. Love bombing is not an in love phase where you're both feeling, you know, twinkle in the eye and a little heart thump. Love bombing is when one person is a little more aggressive about their attachment and the other person is feeling loved, but is not ready for that amount of emotional, you know, attachment, and the love bomb continues and it's bigger, over the top. It's not proper. It's not pure, proportionate. It's not appropriate. This is more appropriate to two people finding interest,
but still dating. Whatever you call this, it's still like, are we doing it wrong, Craig?
Yeah. So I've been accused of, of love bombing in the past. So I'm actually really quite insecure about that now because I've been accused of it. And so, but the way that Chemda defines it right now, I've never love bombed in my life. That's absolute.
Right.
And I've been doing, and I've been asking.
There's a difference
people,
between love bombing and being excitable and being excited about someone and,
thank you.
And not crossing thank you. Boundaries and not taking thank them you. To places where they express they don't want to go.
And it makes me a little bit insecure. So in that respect, like I'm seeing that I have the propensity to be excitable. And so I'm trying to be very respectful of not only my own feelings, but be very self-aware and communicative and explain. I've even explained my, I think, rational fears about maybe I'm a love bomber or whatever. And so as I've reflected and I've had this conversation with friends as well, like it seems like we all land on the fact that if everybody's communicating about everything and everything is out in the open and everybody's making decisions with all of the information, then you're being as fair as you can to everybody. And also on the excitable feature, when a door opens, you know, I'm a person that tends to just like check it out. You know what I mean? Even if there's a monster
in there. You're describing being carried away. As opposed to like invading someone with how you feel. Although you might do that by being carried away and, you know, maybe call one more time than you would have if you were on a logical level. But if they're in that same space, I don't know. I read The Ethical Slut years ago and one of the segments of it was the difference between in love and loving. So there's that first like in love and everything's great and blah, blah, blah. And you don't make decisions from that place. You don't move in with each other. In that place, you don't, you don't get a bank account together in that place. You enjoy that place. You eat food in that place. You have fun sexually in that place. But then when you take that down and you be in love, it's a totally different phase and your logic starts coming back. But that in love phase has a little drug, a little endorphin, a little dopamine that's a little too much and you can get carried away.
Waiting for the movie.
But Pearl Fam saying love bombing is overcompensating for something sinister. There's love bombing is oof, it's be I careful mean, when it, you say that you are that is what you're doing.
And also that's kind of the way that you're explaining this, Chemda, I honestly haven't heard it that way. And it's really interesting to me. And it's one of those things that when you're in relationships and, you know, one is ending or one gets difficult and there are these words that we barely know the definition of and we start floating them around in like attack or defense mode towards each other. And there's a real, consequence to that, to somebody's psyche. You know what I mean? If they're being considerate of those words. So it's interesting to hear. And it feels like everybody has like a slightly different definition, which is, so
remember earlier you were trying to gaslight me?
No, I mean,
just saying about these
gaslighting
words.
Motherfucker.
Well, that's sweet. Thank you.
Let's respect not talk words, about it. You
know. Somehow Keith's version of gaslighting is simply paraphrasing someone. And I'm like, how are you gaslighting me, paraphrasing me? This is like, I don't think I said that.
Let me tell you guys something about this paraphrasing. Please. I do it right. Talk. And I'm dead fucking on when I do it. And then somebody like Hemda goes, no, the car was parked on the left during the story. I'm like, I don't think that means I paraphrased it wrong.
Yeah, there you are paraphrasing again, Ray. You always give the perfect example in the right time.
Thank you. So this is feeling good, this new relationship. How's it feel on your penis?
I'm not going to talk to you about things like that. Okay. But I
guess how our phone call started today, by the way. But yes, fair enough.
It's nice to meet somebody in this like era of life, and it feels like you're able to even. I'm trying to give optimism to people out there that are in their, you know, 40s or whatever and are dating, that you can actually learn like whole new things about how you've been perceiving people around you. You can meet somebody that can change the way you think about things. And that
are you
that
teaching
is so-
courses now? This was 5 days ago. You teaching classes over here, Kevin Allison?
I
got sober. Now I'm teaching classes. What a life.
Well, there's something to say for that. There's something to say for not being, having really absorbed any information until you've passed it on to somebody else. I mean, I think that that's why Chemda is so knowledgeable about these things, because I'm sure she researched it first, and then she has a platform, not only here, but in OMAT, to kind of put some of those things into practice. And that's when you have it really figured out.
Okay, I hear you. I can agree. What's she going to say, right? She'd be embarrassed. But you're right. She's
I don't mean
smart.
To speak for you, Chemda.
It saves her time. Believe me. Believe me. So another time, we got to do this another time. But I got some. We're going to have to talk about your personal experiences with the following people: John McEnroe, Steven Tyler, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and now on the list we got Pauly Shore. You know what? We're going to keep you in our lives for a while. I'll tell you that much.
The McEnroe story is really short.
Go.
I went to. Has anybody seen the movie Palindromes?
No, sounds pretentious.
Came out in like 2006 or something, somewhere around there. Anyway, the same director is Welcome to the Dollhouse, if you've ever seen that.
Right.
And if you know, and or Happiness. And if you know this director, it's like pretty sick stuff. And this was the world premiere, so I had no idea what this movie was about.
Happiness is the one where the dog licks the guy's cum on the balcony or something, right?
You know, there's a couple of type of people and how they describe that movie, and you're one of those types.
I mean, a good conversation. Is this the movie?
why do you always see blood, dude? Yeah, so I being taken as a date to somebody to go, and we're waiting in line, and I realize in front of me is John McEnroe, and he is like shaking his leg and like really impatient. And granted, the people that are right in front of us at the there's somebody at the counter that's like fumbling, you know, right. And then there's me, and then John McEnroe's behind me, and he's like twitching over my shoulder and like, you know, just being a dick,
right.
And or impatient. And then they finally get away, and I start walking up, and he jumps in front of me, and he goes, popcorn, no butter. And I go, hey, man. And he goes, what's up?
And, like he's ready to fight you.
Steps to me like I'm Jesus. Going, like he's going to fight me. So I'm like, okay, is this my 15 minutes? I'm going to be the guy who got his ass kicked by John McEnroe.
Right. Oh, my God. Know? And then he realized John McEnroe's just tripping. He pulls up the video and he tried to send Keith on his trip.
And it calms
Everything
him down.
Everything changed.
So I escaped that. I let him go. Okay, dude, I'm going to stay away from you in the theater.
Right.
I go into the movie, and behind me is Philip Seymour Hoffman. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what a hero, you know? And I tell him, and he's the nicest fucking guy. And then there's a family, and there are handicapped. I don't know what the proper.
God's special angels, we say now.
Okay. Yeah. In the audience.
We say super capable, we say.
And
we say
children.
The best that we say. We call them I wishes. I wish my other senses were better. You know what I mean? That's what we say.
Keith is not speaking for me. So
can you imagine our conversations are like this?
I'm sitting. I'm
what,
sitting
what
in the audience.
What can we say now, folks?
Next to one of these child actors and their parents. Okay.
Okay.
And in this movie, it is a sick fucking movie, and there is molestation, child rape, and it's done in a way where it's like sentimental or humorous, where the audience is laughing at the expense of this rape to this disabled child that I'm sitting next to their family, their parents.
How funny is this director? What?
It's a complicated movie. Okay. It's a complicated movie. And I'm not describing it. I'm being as dramatic as I can about it because that's how I've learned to tell the story.
I follow. It's but sick it's, shit, this director.
It's a weird thing. And the audience is laughing and there's a child actor in their moment, but it's the weirdest. It felt like I was in a fucking David Lynch movie.
Do you tap the kid on the back? Like, fuck yeah.
It was very hard to enjoy the movie. It was very hard. Yeah. It was very hard to kind of be in it or suspend disbelief, you know?
Where did John McEnroe end up sitting? I'm ready. Like it's Curb Your Enthusiasm and it's right next to you.
Far away from me as far as I can remember. But can you imagine somebody that's that notable, that's that recognizable, ready to fight somebody in a popcorn line at a world premiere?
He was ready to fight.
This is why he doesn't want to do it for fake.
Yeah. Because
then this is.
This guy was ready to fight in a tennis match on TV. I think he doesn't mind fighting for popcorn in private.
That sounds like the wrong drugs for that movie that he's doing.
Whatever he's doing, right?
I'm not saying it's the wrong drug for him, but it might be the wrong timing on that drug.
Right.
You're right. Don't do cocaine and go to... Actually, I can tell you from experience.
He probably did an edible first. Big mistake. Yeah. Big mistake.
Yeah.
All right, look. Craig, wow. I'm happy for you and your relationship, all right?
Well, all right. Let's not put so much pressure on me, but okay. Thank you.
Don't put happiness on me. That's way too much. Okay.
No, it is. It is very nice. And I hope. Oh, can I mention that this girl that I'm talking about, she has a podcast
She also has a name. Go on, Craig. Thoughts and prayers.
This woman, she has a podcast. It's called Window Dressing and it's really, really interesting. So, you know, if you want to know the character behind what I'm talking about,
her name's Madeline. That okay to say?
Her name is Matt. I'm sorry.
I don't give a fuck. I don't date her. I'm just trying to help you out.
No, I'm sorry for me.
Maybe you didn't know her name. I just looked it up, Window Dressing Podcast, and now I can tell you. It's Madeline. Now you know. All right? You're welcome.
You don't have to be afraid. You're not going to accidentally be one of the bad guys.
Yes.
It's not going to take one sentence or one notion or one idea that wrongly placed in a podcast that's being recorded that makes any person who knows you think, oh, shit, he's one of the bad guys. Nothing, not even like, oh, I didn't mention her name yet. That's an oversight. Everything that you can see, we can see. You're fine.
That's really nice of you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I promise, as a good friend, to talk down to you more and more, Craig, like Henda just did. Okay, and apparently you like it. And again, you treat others how they want to be treated. Don't listen to Jesus. Okay, how they need to be treated like a little baby boy. Okay. Craig, thank you so much for your time. The 21st is Silent Trailers. Click on the YouTube bell. That'll remind you. You know all this shit. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Check out Diamond Dogs. Zeno, Titty, and Craig did a great fucking job. It's a lot of fun.
Q&A
is fucking great. We're going to record a last week and probably talk about acid here in a minute. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. You're brand new. You want to try it out? Free trial is your code. One word. Free trial. And that's it. Craig, God is blessed.
You're a genius.
No, we're cutting that out.
Thank you, Craig.
All right, so let's get over here.
Let's check the. Yeah, what are people saying?
Yeah, hold on, because there was a lot going on.
Yes.
Wow. Let me read. I didn't read this ahead of time.
I'm gonna get it. I really stuffed in it. I know.
You're so funny. I don't know where you're getting that from.
I don't know.
It's not even about, it's more people telling their stories. I just didn't know how it fits.
I'm literally drowning right now in floods, you asshole.
Like when we were talking about love bombing, Haley Ann says, yep, like when someone cheats and then showers their partner with flowers and fancy dinners. It's inappropriate. It doesn't match. Right. Jennifer McIntosh says, I was almost a victim of a narcissism when I was a freshman in college. I was sheltered and very insecure, and this dude saw it and attached himself to me. He did this whole, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And from there, And from there on out, he was everywhere I was. He was waiting for me at my door in the mornings, waiting at my classes, bought me necklaces, bears, wrote awful poetry.
I won't even walk Kyle to the subway. I don't want to confuse anything.
Hey, Leanne also says, I have ADHD and find that I can hyper-focus on a person during the initial infatuation phase, which can come across as love bombing, but I just try to be mindful and check myself. Now, the difference between narcissists and people who are checking themselves, who are enjoying the, you know, that initial love phase is the people who go, oh my God, I'm sorry. Let me check myself. That's right. The difference. Mm. Narcissists will be like, but I love you so much. Like, but I can't stop thinking about you. And it's like, hey, I just told you my feelings and you are responding with your feelings instead of going like, oh, I didn't know that. That's, I think, the difference. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, and Ryan V at the end says, Craig looks legit nervous. Haley says, Haley Ann says,
you see me.
Craig's a sweetheart. Such a lucky girl. Also pretty sure Keith is a gent at heart. Why are we making that up?
One has to assume you can't live your life like this.
Keith keeps going like, can you stop talking to me about this? I think this is boring. And people are like, but he really wants to talk about this because he's actually deep in his heart. And it's like, no, he's legit telling you. All right.
Well, I think I like Kyle because she's the first woman I ever dated that didn't think there was more upstairs. And there's something about that that's cool.
She just accepted that you're the kind of guy that's going to tear the sleeves off in a Leah shirt.
Right.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Click all the buttons. You know, click around. Have fun with it. Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel like you were misunderstood or misspoke?
No. Okay. I just feel weird, like being a guy talking about women's issues because it's the ones fucking them. In my head, I'm thinking like, are you trying to mansplain something, or like, is it obvious to everybody? But it wasn't obvious to me, and that's why I felt like it's worth talking about.
I think that you kept it from your perspective, so you're not explaining me to me. You're explaining you to me, and that's the difference. Even Keith is nodding. So let's get out of here. True. That's scary.
Honestly, Keith, you need to let her talk more. she's a fucking angel.
Right. I gotta go. This is weird.
Later, everybody.
Thank you guys again. That was good.
Bye. Keith and the girl.com.